Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, and I suppose you can go to chapter 1 to begin with. We'll be there in a minute. 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 1. I feel like I need to apologize to Rob. It seems like, you know, I'm the guy that puts the slides together, and there's always songs that are messed up. And I've noticed about that song that those slides are just messed up, and I keep forgetting to change them because that's just on the program, yeah. I do want to say something about singing. You know, singing is a beautiful and a wonderful thing that we do together. And some of us are more comfortable with it than others. And I know that's just the way it is. There are some of us that have been singing all our lives. And then there's some of you that haven't really sang very much at all. And I especially feel for some of you that are maybe newer Christians that came from churches or maybe didn't go to church at all. And it's hard for you to figure out how to sing those notes and get them out. But I want you to know that I really appreciate that you sing anyway from your heart, no matter how you sound. I guess I'm thinking about that more and more because I feel like as I'm getting a little older, my voice is not quite what it used to be sometimes. And the words coming out of my mouth and the sounds that they make aren't matching what's in my heart all the time. But it sure is good to sing together. I really like that last song. It's such a simple song. But that one line that we just sang, we'll praise Him for all that is past and trust Him for all that's to come. What a great way to think about the way we love our Lord. And I guess the sermon that I'm going to do tonight is going to be a little bit about that kind of thing. We're going to think a little bit about our past and a little bit about our future, but we're also going to talk about prayer again. I talked about prayer this morning and thought I'd talk about prayer again tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, you guys ready? Verse 1. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. Stop for a second and look ahead. Just go ahead and scan. And I'll ask you if you want me to keep reading. You want me to keep reading? It's pretty tough to read this section of Scripture. I was going to start this lesson by asking how many of you have read the Old Testament all the way through and watch you all raise your hands that have done it. And then I was going to say, like, come on, be honest. Have you actually read the entire Old Testament all the way through? Because there's a couple sections in the Old Testament where you skipped, and I know you did. Or if you didn't skip, you at least checked out, and you weren't thinking about every word. All you were trying to do by the time you got here was just get the names out your mouth, because you didn't know what half of them, how to pronounce them. It's hard to keep track of. It's just a big, giant list of names. Chapter 1. What about chapter 2? These are the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. We recognize those names, but they're still names. And if you scan the chapter, it's just names. Chapter 3, names. Chapter 4, names. Chapter 5, names. Chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, looks promising. And then like 3 verses in, you got more names. So a lot of people just skip 1 Chronicles 1 through 9, go to chapter 10, because it's a little bit hard to figure out what's practical about this section of Scripture. I had a function for the returning captives that needed to trace their lineage and remember names and where they came from. But for us, sometimes when we're reading it, we think, well, what's the point of this section for us? Because I sort of scanned and skipped that section for many years, there was something important that I missed. And there's probably a couple important things I missed. But I'm going to show you one of them tonight. Go to chapter 4. And I would like to show you that in the middle of this list of names, God breaks the pattern at one point and tells us something about one of these names. I like chapter 4 because I like some of the names in chapter 4. Verse 3, there's some girl named Has a Little Pony, and I actually like that name, Has a Little Pony, and I made a joke recently that I really hope she did have one. But that's not an everyday name as a little pony. But I like a lot of the names in here. That's not really what I want to show you. Look at verse 9. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. And then it gets back to the names. I just want us to stop for a minute and think about why in the Bible, in this list of names, does God stop with a guy named Jabez that you don't know because he's never been mentioned before in the Bible and he's never going to be mentioned again in the Bible. But why stop with this guy named Jabez and tell us about his mom and what his name means and then that he prayed a prayer and that God answered him? Like, what's so special about this guy and this prayer? So this is going to be our text for tonight. Let's just start by making a couple of observations here. First of all, look at what we know from this text. Number one, there is a man here named Jabez, and it sounds like things didn't start very well for this guy in his life. His mom names him pain, or causes pain, something like that. Which is just a strange thing to name your kid. But moms have said that to kids over the centuries, right? Do you know how much pain I was in to bring you into the world? That was usually when your kid's acting up and they need to obey you. But she actually named him Causes Pain. I don't know if that meant she almost died or if that was very difficult. I don't know if there was any health struggle for this man named Jabez. Anyway, that was his name. We also learn in this text that this man who started difficult way in his life, said a prayer, a simple prayer. And then all we learn is that God gave him what he prayed for. But it's kind of this snapshot, just a blip in history of somebody who started in shame and ended up with glory, or started with difficulty and ended up with victory. It's an interesting kind of thing. Notice the prayer to start with. Actually, before we get to the prayer, look at verse 9 again. And notice that it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It doesn't tell us why. By the way, let me be real clear about this. Sometimes we talk about God and whether or not God has favorites. And the Bible teaches God is not a respecter of persons. But you will find times in the Bible where God will say something like, this person was more honorable than another. You will see God give people things and even glorify people above others. And Jabez is specifically called more honorable than his brothers, whether that had to do with his integrity or his character or the prayer itself. Maybe that's what we're going to figure out here. But it's not said about Abraham in this text, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Joseph, or anybody else. Just Jabez. So, interesting to notice that. Now, look at the prayer there in verse 10. And what are your initial observations about it? Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. The first observation I would have is, this is not a terribly profound prayer on the surface. It seems very simple, doesn't it? You might even say it's fairly sensible. There's not a lot of frilly religious kind of sound and stuff in it. It's just sort of like, hey God, do this and do this and do this, please. So even though it may seem a little bit sort of superficial or simple, I'm going to suggest there's a lot more going on in this prayer under the surface if we think about it. So let's look through these four things in the prayer and see if we can figure out what it is that's so special about Jabez. First things first, go to verse 10 and notice the first phrase that he says. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Does that sound selfish to you? I mean, think about it for real. If I got up in front of you and I said, let's pray, dear Father, please bless me indeed. You'd say like, well, what about us? Like, why don't you pray all of us? And I guess maybe we could pray a prayer like that for our congregation. Our Lord, bless us indeed. Now, for those that think maybe, well, are we allowed to pray like that? Should we really ask God to not just bless us, but bless us indeed? What does indeed mean? Like for real, a lot, like really bless me. That's the prayer. It's kind of an important idea. Now, something I mentioned this morning that might fit into this. For God to pause and tell us about this man, Jabez, who's honorable above his brothers, maybe part of the implication is he knew who to ask for this. And that was rare. A lot of people seek blessings indeed from those other than God. Hey, job, bless me indeed. Hey, government, bless me indeed. Hey, friends or person that I love, bless me indeed. We turn to all kinds of things to bless us for real. But this man turned to God and said, God, I know you can do this. So there's some important things there. Let me point out something else. In this little short prayer, is Jabez specific, at least at first, with the blessing? Bless me indeed. He's not too specific. Now, we'll look at the second phrase in a minute. He prays four things, but maybe in the second thing there's a little bit more. But it sounds pretty general to me. He doesn't say, bless me with X, Y, Z, just bless me indeed, God. Kind of like saying, you know best. You make the decisions. You are the one who knows things that I don't know. So I'm requesting blessing indeed from you, but you give it the way that you think you should. You know, what if God only blessed us when we prayed for it? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But what if God didn't just dump blessings out on us all the time like he does, but he just waited for us to say something as simple as this, God bless me indeed. We'd all probably be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? Because that's not something I say all the time. There are catches to this. There is more to the story with praying like this. In the New Testament, I'm not going to do this, I'll just give you some passages. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. There are a few principles involved in seeking blessings from God. Number one, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and really believe that God's a good Father who will give you gifts. That's part of it. James chapter 1 talks about asking for wisdom, but not asking with doubting, because whoever doubts is like somebody tossed to and fro by the winds. It's like a double-minded man. In James chapter 4, the last thing, those that ask for blessings or ask for help cannot ask to split so that they can spend it on their pleasures. He specifically says, you don't have because you don't ask, and you ask and don't have because you're just thinking selfishly in this. And I would suggest to you that Jabez probably was not. But let's go on in this interesting prayer. Look at the second thing he prays. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border. Enlarge my border. What does that mean? Enlarge my border. Let's be really literal, all right? I would say, dear God, please bless me and make my quarter acre an acre. Make my acre 10 acres. Make my 10 acres 100 acres. Make my property bigger. Give me more land. And again, I'm going to ask you, does that sound wrong? Does that sound selfish? Or maybe we could look at it and not think just about real estate. How about that? Now, we know that borders in the ancient world was about real estate. But I think in the ancient world, there's something that we need to keep in mind. Having a larger border didn't simply mean more blessing. It meant more responsibility. It meant greater opportunity, and it meant greater influence. It meant all of those things. It always did. If you had larger borders, you had to take care of that. You had responsibilities under God's laws to take care of those that would come within your borders. There were always selfish people who didn't want to have responsibility, but here you have a man praying for blessing and increased responsibility. Increased influence. Have you ever prayed that? Hey God, I would like to expand my responsibility, expand my influence, expand my opportunities to serve you. Please give me more that I need to do for work. Because to be honest, let's talk about real estate for real. How many of you actually want, instead of your 2 acres, how many of you want 20? If you got to take care of it. Like that sounds big to me. It's more work. I think some people are afraid of praying like this. In fact, I know some people are afraid of praying like this. I'd like to just come to church and be a Christian. And I'd sort of like to get the stuff I get from church. But I really don't want to feel like when I'm out there in the world or even when I'm at church that I've got more I'm supposed to be doing. I don't want to pray to God and say, God, make me a Bible class teacher. God, make me an evangelist. God, put people into my life that I can tell them about the Lord. God, help me find more things to do. God, give me this. People don't want to pray that very often. That's rare. Why? Why? Well, it's sort of like we figure out when we start praying for patience. You guys ever heard that before? Don't pray for patience. It's a bad idea. Pray for wisdom, but don't pray for patience. You know the only way you can learn patience? Trial. So praying for patience is asking for trial. Praying for greater responsibility is asking for work. I'll tell you that I didn't know about this prayer when I was young. But I remember praying things like this when I was young. I remember as I started to grow in the Lord when I was a teenager, and I felt like there was more I needed to be doing, more I should be doing, more ways I should be serving, I started saying things to God like that. And it's very strange what happens when that happens. When that kind of prayer begins to be answered, pretty soon, you have Bible studies with people. Like, don't ask me how that happened when I was a teenager. It just did. I had Bible studies with people. I had Bible studies with people that should never have been talking to me. I had Bible studies with people that were older than me, smarter than me, all kinds of things more than me. And I still just had Bible studies because I'd asked God to do more with my life. And now I stand in front of an audience of a bunch of people. You guys will never know how uncomfortable this makes me. You won't. It makes me uncomfortable that I'm doing what I do. That people ask me sometimes to actually travel to where they are so that I can tell them some things about the Bible. That just seems weird to me. I should be doing something else. Except somewhere back in my life, I started praying prayers like, God, give me more. Expand my borders. Let me do some more things. Could I suggest to you that that's a desperately needed prayer for this church? For this church. hey, God, expand our borders. There's more to do here. Great little church. Number of people in it that are good-hearted. But let's see about praying, God, bless us indeed. Expand our borders. Give us more to do. Give us greater influence. Help you be seen in more ways. Maybe you can pray that in your personal life. Let's look at the third thing in the prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me. That's an interesting prayer there. That your hand might be with me. You know, he didn't start the prayer that way. That you could have started the prayer that way. Hey, God, let your hand be with me. Hand, by the way, in the Bible means help, power, assistance. Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. Acts 11, verse 21. The hand of the Lord is with someone to be victorious, to do good work, something they couldn't possibly do themselves. Could I suggest to you that it's a logical place for Jabez to say it? Think about it. God bless me indeed, and give me more territory. Do you know what that blessed person now needs? God's help. If I don't pray for God's help when I'm praying for more blessings and expanded territory, I am in a heap of trouble. I just want to ask you for yourself. When God really did begin to bless you in your life more, let's just make it real materialistic. You had better health. You had more money. You ate better food. You lived in a better place. You had more friends. You had all kinds of good stuff. Blessings from God. Did that help you spiritually? Or did it hurt you spiritually? It may be different for different people. Some people move away from God because everything gets bad. But that's not typical. When everything gets bad, most people are brought to their knees and say, God, let your hand be with me. What normally happens is when people begin to have more and more and more and be blessed and blessed and blessed, they forget to say things like, God, let your hand be with me because I really need your help right now. But that's the prayer. Let your hand be with me. Do you remember in the New Testament how Christians begin to pray like that when the kingdom began to grow? In Acts chapter 2, they preach this sermon and 3,000 souls are added. And then they keep preaching and there's more influence and more influence. And pretty soon you find them gathering together in Acts chapter 4 and saying, God, give us boldness to keep doing this. Help us. We need your help. This is getting difficult. And it will. It will. If you pray personally the first two parts of the prayer, it's going to get difficult for you. If we pray as a church, the first two parts of the prayer, it will be difficult for us. So God, may your hand be with us. Now the fourth part of the prayer. Last thing. That you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. That's an interesting thing for a guy named Payne to pray, isn't it? A guy named Payne ends his prayer with, God, keep me from harm or from evil, that it may not pain me or that I may not cause pain. Different versions say that differently, and it's hard to translate in the Hebrew. He could be saying simply, God, keep me from evil or harm so that I will not be in pain. But some versions actually translate it this way, keep me from evil so that I will not cause pain. By the way, what did Jabez grow up hearing from his mom? You cause pain! Dear God, bless me indeed and give me more territory and please be with me and keep me from evil so that I won't cause pain. I don't know about Jabez. But when that last thing in that last verse says that God granted him what he requested, isn't that kind of a beautiful story? Can you fill in all the back details in your own way? This man who grew up hearing this, who prayed more honorably than his brothers for this kind of thing, and God granted it. Can you see the difference in Jabez in your mind? Hey, God's helping me. Hey, I've got more to do here. Hey, I'm not causing pain anymore. I'm not wrecking all the things that God's doing in my life by continually doing evil. You know what? Every time you see in the New Testament Christians being talked about as being the ones who would do God's work, usually that kind of prayer is right around it. Let me show you this in the New Testament. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus says in verse 13, "But now I come to you," speaking to his Father, "and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but," I'm going to change the words, "but that your hand would be with them, and that you would keep them from evil." That's not the way he said it, but listen to the way he said it. "That you would keep them from the evil one." All right, God, I gave these people this responsibility, and I'm praying that you protect it. I'm praying that you watch out for it. Keep them from evil and the evil one, because if they're going to be doing this work, I don't want them to cause pain or for them to be in pain. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. This is a great prayer. Verses 1 through 5. I'd like for you to see as we read this prayer of Paul how much it sounds like the prayer of Jabez. Because Jabez, again, was praying for blessing, responsibility, God's help, and then God's protection. And listen to this prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." Pray that the Word will grow, that the Word will expand, that the word will spread rapidly and be glorified. Does that sound like more territory? Yes. And pray that God keep you from evil. God will protect you. God can take care of this. Everybody that God ever called honorable and granted requests to thought like this, talk like this. I read one time about some ancient Roman poster that was posted around Rome, and I've never seen it, I've only read about it. I guess there's no way to see it, there's no pictures from those times. But evidently there was a Roman poster that had a picture of a lion on it, and it had something to the effect of this phrase: "Sometimes the best way to stay safe is to stay out of the arena." That makes sense. The best way to stay safe is to stay out of the arena. But what we just read was somebody praying basically to invade the arena, to invade enemy territory. Hey, God, give me more territory. Well, whose territory is it? Well, there's the prince of the world. There's a devil who owns these souls. You pray that, you're going to mix it up. He's going to come after you. But as Jesus said, the gates of Hades won't prevail against the kingdom of God. So, last thing. Does God have favorites? Does God have favorites? If God someday writes a history of this church, this one, and somebody sits down to read the list of names, which would just be dreadful, wouldn't it? You know? Rob and Chip and Andy and Jacob and Scott and just name after name after name after name after name, and then all of a sudden gets to your name. Is God going to stop and say, oh, and they were more honorable than the rest? Because they just said this prayer. Here's the prayer. Oh God, bless me indeed. Expand my borders. May your hand be with me. And may you keep me from evil so that I don't cause pain. And will God say, and God granted the request of whoever that is? Prayer is a powerful thing, but prayer is only powerful because God is. And I hope that you'll think about Jabez from time to time and go back there in your Bible to look at that interesting little thing. And maybe let's go read the sections that we skip sometimes because there's interesting things to be found in the Bible. Thank you for your attention. We'll offer a song of invitation now. Sometimes expanding borders and beginning a life with God starts with knowing that you need something different. If you've caused pain in your life because of your sin, to yourself, to others, this is a great thing to think about, that God can change all of that. He can change the entire course and direction and even meaning of somebody's life, and He can grant the request for you to have more in your life for Him. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, please think about doing that tonight. If we can help you in any other way, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing together.